right? Once upon a time, there lived a beautiful princess. Once upon a time, in a land far away. Once upon a time, lived a lonely woodcarver named Geppetto. So many great stories begin with a look into the past. They begin with some kind of words that start us at a point that we know isn't now. It was a time in the past, but it draws us in and we know it's going to bring us forward. And we enter into that story not really knowing where it's going to take us, where it's going to lead us, but it draws us into this time past. Once upon a time, it was a dark and stormy night. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. In the beginning. Those are the three words that launch us into the Bible story. In the beginning. In the beginning. We read them, we know it's not our time. It's a look back into a time past, and it sets the stage for what is going to come. In the beginning, God created, and it was very good. In the beginning, God walked with humanity, and as humanity, male and female, in God's image, ruled the world on behalf of the benevolent Creator. They walked with Him. In the beginning, humanity decided that they could do better than that Creator. And they sought to wrest control from Him, leading to broken relationships and broken harmony and broken balance and broken peace. In the beginning. In the beginning, that good creation got marked with suffering and death and selfishness and greed, with grief and pain. In the beginning. The story that we read in Scripture, our story, the story we're a part of, starts with in the beginning. And in the beginning, before it seems like we've moved very far at all, already it seems like the end shows up. In the beginning. It seems like there's no hope. After the beginning, as we get into the Bible story, what follows, truthfully, is rather horrifying. Within a few pages of the beginning, a brother is killing a brother. A deep revenge culture is established. Families are divided. Evil is so rampant that God actually says He regrets putting humanity on the earth. And even when God initiates a rescue plan, humanity responds by lying, with adultery. Strangers are greeted in communities with threats of rape. Deceit and conflict, fear and violence mark the story, and that's among the people who God chose to represent Him in this world. They're clearly failing in what He's asked them to do. Lying, jealousy, injustice are common threads with this story. And that's in the first 50 pages of this story that we're invited to explore. In the beginning, pain. In the beginning, struggle. In the beginning, darkness. In the beginning. But that is not the only in the beginning in the Bible. There's a parallel telling of the beginning that's told from a different perspective. There's a different in the beginning that I want us to spend some time with this morning. Let's start by reading this passage from John 1 together off the screen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What a beautiful statement. What a powerful statement. It doesn't deny the darkness, but it boldly and clearly claims that the darkness does not have absolute power. In the midst of all the darkness that came in those first 50 pages and beyond, there was a light shining. There was always a light shining. That light in this passage is described as the Word. But it goes on to say the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That light, through all of that, was Jesus. And there were times that the light was hard to see, but it was always there. In the midst of broken relationships, there were glimmers of reconciliation between God and humanity, between people. In the midst of violence, there was offers of grace. In the midst of hostility, there were glimmers of love. In the midst of deceit, there were radical promises that were being fulfilled. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When we move through the story, many of you have read through the Old Testament. As we move through it, the darkness seems to continue to grow and expand. Repeatedly, it seeks to force out the light via slavery, wandering in the desert, violent oppression, corrupt kings, selfish hedonism, active rebellion. There's defeat, there's bondage, there's captivity. All of these things mark the reality for people who claim to be connected to the living God. And when you get to the end of all of that story in the Old Testament, you get silence. Perhaps the hardest thing to take at all. Silence. For most of the story, the light was speaking into and against the darkness, but then for 400 years, nothing. The voice of God was not heard. No prophet spoke. No one seemed to be able to say exactly what God was up to and what He was doing. But even in that silence, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Within that darkness, there was always, always a handful of people who kept their eyes on the light, who clung to the promises of God and of the stories where the light shone in the darkness. They looked back and said, but remember where that light was shining. Remember then. Do you remember that story? And they held on, but it was still shining. And for those who were looking, the light was always visible. I think we can relate to the darkness. We all experience it differently, but we all face it. And it threatens to block out the light. We face a childhood trauma. We feel the darkness. Names were called by people that we desperately want to know us and love us, resonate in us for the rest of our life. And we feel the darkness. We make promises. We hear promises. And then those promises are shattered. They're broken. And we feel the darkness. We're hit with a loss. We lose a job. We lose our security. We lose our health. And we feel the darkness. There you go, it's coming now. Relationships get shattered through misunderstanding,
through failures or through intentional malevolence. We feel the darkness. Our own mistakes, our own wrongdoings cause harm to ourselves and others, and we're faced with this overwhelming guilt. We see the pain that we've inflicted on others, and we feel the darkness. We become face to face with death, either the potential of our own or someone else, and we feel the darkness. And soon enough, we find ourselves stumbling along, grasping for anything that seems like it might give us comfort in the cold, dark world that we find ourselves in. Something that can give us guidance through this maze of pain and darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. This is the first week of Advent. As we wait, as we look towards the arrival of Jesus in the world, we do so with a posture that is very aware of the darkness, but looks to the light in the midst of it. The light of Jesus has always been shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not been able to overcome it. That's the beautiful thing about light. Darkness does not actually ever push back light. No matter how deep and intense the darkness, it cannot overcome the smallest of lights. The light will continue to shine. The light of Jesus today continues to shine for all who will look to it. His light gives us hope no matter what darkness we face. We foster hope when we continue to look to the light of Jesus despite the darkness that is all around us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. But there's more. See, when Jesus was here on earth, he didn't just come and say, "I'm the light of the world." He said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This too is the light of hope. We live in the world as the light of Jesus shining in the darkness. We're called to live in a way that puts the light of Jesus on display and invite them into the hope that clings to the truth of the promise that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Every time you comfort the weary, the light shines in the darkness. When you feed the hungry, the light shines in the darkness. When you sponsor a child, the light shines in the darkness. When you sit present with a grieving family, the light shines in the darkness. When you help someone get a glimpse of the love God has for them, the light shines in the darkness. When you learn to love your husband or wife or child or brother or sister or parents or neighbor just a little bit better, the light shines in the darkness. When you listen with understanding instead of finding ways to correct or shout down or reprimand, the light shines in the darkness. So many ways every day we have the privilege of proclaiming the hope of Advent, that the light is shining in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. This morning, on the first day of Advent, we are also going to celebrate communion. Communion is largely about waiting. It's waiting for what Jesus did on the cross to fully come to bear in our world. So I think it's appropriate that in the shadow of this hope candle, we're going to come together and we're going to eat and drink together. Now, if you're from a different Christian tradition, what we're going to do here might seem a little strange to you. Some groups call it the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. Here at Covenant, we invite all of those who look to the light of Jesus, who trust in His light, who trust in Him, to join us while we eat and drink. We eat a piece of bread and we drink some grape juice. The bread represents the broken body of Jesus. The juice represents the spilled blood of Jesus. And as we eat and drink, we declare our unity around Jesus in spite of our differences. As we eat and drink, we declare that there is a hope at work in this world in the midst of all the darkness. And as we eat and drink, we affirm that the hope of Jesus, this light, is available to all people, no matter what your background, no matter what your present pain, your present struggles, or even your present sin. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In just a moment, we're going to turn on just enough lights for you to be able to come and make your way up to have to eat some bread and drink some of the juice. I invite you to eat it and drink it while you're standing here in the glow of the candle that represents the hope we have in Jesus. And while you're coming, I want you to consider two things. One, just prayerfully consider, where are you seeing the light of Jesus shining in the world today? Where can you look to the light that is shining in the darkness? And I also want you to consider and prayerfully ask God where He's inviting you to shine as His light in the darkness. Where do you see it, and where is He calling you to shine it? Of all the people in the world who embody hope and light, it should be those of us who know Jesus, who affirm that the light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. It should be visible in us. I'm going to pray, and then you're welcome to come forward and eat and drink. And while you come, I'm going to play a song. The song is not an Advent song, and it's not really a communion song, but it is a hope song. It's a song about light and darkness. And I know that there's many of us here who have faced some really dark times and dark days. And so the song I'm going to play, it's really a prayer for you, prayer for each of us, that we will hold on to the hope and the light, the fire of Jesus within us. So let's pray, and then you're welcome to come. Oh God, we thank You that You are a God who makes promises and will keep them. That through all the biblical story of darkness and pain and struggle in the world, the light continued to shine. That the hope of Jesus was coming and did come into the world. And came with promises that He will come again and make everything right. As we find ourselves in this time of waiting. Waiting to celebrate Christmas, but waiting for the rescue and renewal of all things. Help us as Your people to lean in with hope, with confidence, with expectation, with trust. That You, who has proven faithful so many times over, is a faithful God. That we have a hope that is stronger than the darkness. The light continues to shine today in the darkness. And whatever we're facing, God, help us to know that the darkness will not overcome the light. I thank You for this physical reminder that we have the chance to participate in. Chance to light this candle and to have it burn as this reminder of the hope we have in You. The chance we have to eat and drink together, reminding ourselves that all that was needed for the rescue of this world to happen was accomplished on the cross. And God, we do this, we eat, we drink in eager anticipation of the fulfillment of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you are able. If you can just get just enough light for people to see, that would be great.
You prayed for me, all those years, and I see now more than ever what a difference they have made. And I can still hear the words spoken from heart of great concern, saying, keep your eyes on Jesus, nothing more than anything. And I've watched the wind blow hard against you, and I've seen your face be weakened by the praying for you. Hold on. Don't let the fire die. The flame has been dimmed by the tears you've cried. I can still see the spark of God's love in I'm praying for the fire to burn with you.